Blessed be his wonderful name. Amen. We serve a wonderful God.
Amen.
And he is God.
Amen.
Alone.
Amen.
Amen. Praise his wonderful name. Well, we're glad to be back together again this evening. And we're even more excited to have our brother Jonathan Martin with us tonight. And a good friend and a fellow worker in the ministry for a number of years, and we appreciate the love that he has for the Word and for God's people, and the sacrifices that he and his family make for the gospel's sake. And, he was just over in Pakistan and came back just before the war started over there, and he's coming through Arizona right now doing some evangelism, and then he'll be going to Uganda. So he's definitely not gathering in moss. And he's, you know, it's not easy. We know that. We've, you know, been through those. Just the travel alone is hard on the system, and changing time zones. And, you know, just something as simple as you don't think of these things unless you do these multi-time zone travels, but your body is used to eating at a certain time. And now it's 8 hours off or 10 hours off. And it takes, they say it takes 2 hours for every hour of time, or excuse me, 2 days. For every hour time zone change, it takes 2 days to recover. So that means, you know, like in the case of our brother that David Gonzalez that came over from South Africa, that means they never did get into the time zone, right? Been there, done that. So we appreciate him coming to minister for us tonight, but we also want to keep him in prayer for the Lord would continue to provide and give him strength and be with him and his family as well. So with that, we're not going to take any more time. We're going to invite our brother to come up. And I also want to thank him for giving me the day off. So that's always a nice thing. Amen. He counts the stars. He counts the stars, one and all. He sees each sparrow. Step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I cry, he knows my name. When I'm overwhelmed by the pain and can't see the light of day, I know I'll be just fine.
know I'll be just fine. He knows my name. Aren't you glad for that? He has proven that He is still the Messiah. He's the Word. And He is discerning our hearts. And He knows our name. Knows everything about us. Knows everything that we go through. He knows our good days. He knows our bad days. He knows the struggles that we go through. And He's proven that He's faithful. And He's a very merciful and compassionate high priest. Can be touched by the feeling of our infirmities. And I'm so glad to be living in this day where He has promised to reveal Himself in His power, reveal Himself as the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. We're not serving a dead God. Amen. We're not serving a historical God. Amen. We don't have to look back 50, 60 years to see whether He's alive today. But we see that He's moving, He's working, He's resurrected in the bride of Jesus Christ tonight, on a Wednesday night. So I want to just say God richly bless you. It is such an honor to be here with you again, and I just always deem it a great privilege to be able to just stand behind this sacred desk and to be able to minister to you. And we've just always enjoyed ourselves and enjoyed being able to minister the Word, and have appreciated the friendships that we've made throughout the years. And we just so love your pastor and appreciate him and appreciate his stand for the message of this hour. I know it's a mission-minded church, and I just want to say God richly bless you for all of your labor and throughout the years of getting the message out and standing for the message and believing it with a passion and a zeal burning in your heart. And it seems like Satan is trying his best to just try to put the fire out. But it's good to know that here in Tucson, Arizona, the fire's still burning bright. And there's a passion for the Word and zeal for God. And we believe that, we just believe that every single day, every single tick of that clock, it's just getting closer and closer to that divine appointment. And I believe that, I'll tell you, I'm looking forward to my body change, and I'm sure you are. And it's a promise that is just burning in our hearts, and it's just becoming more and more and more real. And I know in my own heart, I just feel the passion is just getting stronger and stronger, and just want to run with this message as long as God gives us the health and gives us the opportunity to do so. And so I just want to say God richly bless you. And as Brother Baker had made mention that we just got back from Pakistan, and so encouraging to see that fire is burning in the hearts of the people there in Pakistan. And they're translating the message, printing the message, also putting it on the Message Hub, and just very zealous with the message. And we were also able to minister to just a couple of different churches. One was a Pentecostal church. They hosted an outdoor meeting and had over 200 people that came and attended. And just God moved in such a supernatural way in that meeting. And also a Salvation Army. Salvation Army, they've got about 40,000 members there in Pakistan, and a door was open, and we were able to just preach the message to them. So just praise the Lord for what He's doing. And I know your pastor is about to leave for, I believe you said, Nigeria, and here soon, and We just want to keep him in our prayers as well. Amen. And I just so love and appreciate everyone here again, and appreciate this opportunity. I bring greetings from my pastor, Brother Wayne Lawson, as well, and wanted to send greetings to you, and as well as my wife and my family. My wife just has told me over and over she wishes that she could come, and always loves the fellowship. But I know it's Wednesday night, and we don't have a lot of time, so let's just go into the Word. And 1 John, the first chapter, the fifth verse, 1 John 1 and verse 5, and we'll go down to the seventh verse, and then Mark, the 16th chapter, and we'll read verses 6 and 7 there. And I'm going to preach on something that is very familiar, and something that I think that will just resonate in our hearts. And we just pray that it'll be a blessing and an encouragement to you. And I'm just going to borrow a title from one of Brother Branham's sermons, and that is Go Tell. Just two words, Go Tell. And so 1 John 1 and verse 5, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, I just love that. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. Now, Brother Branham would tell us what light is, and in that is the word made manifest is light. And so if we walk in the word made manifest for this day, and I believe that that is where true fellowship is, and that is where the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Now, Mark, the 16th chapter, verse 6 and 7, and he saith unto them, be not affrighted, ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him as he said unto you. Let's just bow our heads. Maybe you have just a need on your heart. Why don't you just make it known to the Lord just now. Father, we love you and we appreciate you. And Lord, I was just enjoying your presence as the songs were being sung, and just to hear the people worshiping in the Spirit. And Lord, knowing that you have given us the greatest vindication of omnipotence in this hour, and that you're here among us, even on a Wednesday night. Father, I would ask that you would reach your hand out and just touch the people. Lord, bless and strengthen and just discern every heart and life and need, and just move as only you can, Father. We give ourselves over to you now for this time to minister your word. We ask that you would just move and speak as only you can. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen. God richly bless you. You can be seated. As these disciples, these women had come to the tomb of Jesus, and then they heard the news that Jesus is not dead, but he is alive. And then they were commissioned to run and give this message to the other disciples that he's not dead, but he is alive. I believe that we are also runners, and we are running with the same inspiration, and we're running with a message that Jesus Christ is alive today. Amen. And, you know, the prophet would say that it doesn't do much good to go if you don't have something to say, it doesn't have something to tell. And so we must follow the same instructions as these disciples who got the commission. We have the same commission. Go tell my disciples that I am risen from the dead. I think of the angel's message in another place where it's speaking of the resurrection, that the angel, he actually asks, why seek ye the living among the dead? I believe it's the same message that we have received in this hour. Why seek ye the living among the dead? And that is why we have come out of the grave of denominationalism. We've come out of tradition. We have completely died out to man-made creeds and systems and anything that would try to stop the move of the Holy Ghost and to hinder the presence of God. We have heeded to the angel's message in this age that we are serving a living, resurrected Christ. And you're not going to seek a living Christ in among denominations. You're not going to seek a living Christ heeding to man's opinions or trying to lean to a system of man and man-made worship. But we have come God's provided way of approach, and we see that the presence of God is in full manifestation in this age. I think of the two men on the road to Emmaus and how that they were sorrowful, and their own testimony was, we had hoped that Jesus was the Messiah. And they, when Jesus drew nigh unto them and began to ask, why are you sorrowful? What is the problem? And they actually said, are you a stranger here? Have you not heard the headlines? Do you not know the news? Are you not aware of current happenings? And how that, you know, we had hoped that Jesus was the Messiah and all of these things. But, you know, Jesus didn't put his arm around them and say, well, my, that's what a sad story. But his word to them was, fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have foretold of this day. And you know, that's kind of like the story. So many times we can lose focus and we can start looking around us, and we see a war in Iran, and we begin to wonder what's going to happen. We, you know, someone today made it very clear to me as I was leaving the airport. You know, she just had to tell me she was a Democrat and she couldn't wait for the next election, and she was tired of these gas prices and you know, all of these different things. And you can get so caught up in just current events and happenings, and you can get on a roller coaster and you start having this kind of a confession that we had hoped. I'm thankful to God that we're living on the other side of that. That we're not just saying we had hoped, but we have actually seen the resurrection sign. We know that Messiah lives. We have seen the vindication of his presence and how that the word has been revealed in this last age, and he's performed the sign of the Messiah again, which is the resurrection sign, proving that he is not dead, but he's alive, and he knows our name, he knows our address, he knows our situations, he knows how to put food on the table, he knows how to provide a job, he knows how, he's still Jehovah Jireh, and his presence is walking among us, and you see, there's a reality amen, as those men said, did not our heart burn within us as he talked with us along the way? What was that conversation? He was taking prophecy and he was showing current events a prophecy, and he was showing in so many words that this is the scripture that is being fulfilled, and you don't have to be sad and you don't have to be downhearted, but you're running with the message. You see, when their hearts begin to burn and they begin to see that Jesus is not dead, he is alive, and this is the fulfillment of prophecy, they ran and begin to tell, we have come face to face with the Messiah. He is alive and he's among us. Now, you see, they were convinced of it. Now, the prophet of God would say, we must worship in spirit. Where the Spirit of God, not only our message, should be the flame of the hour, it should be the flame in our hearts. It's got to be in our hearts, or we can't rightly present it to the people. The Spirit has to pack the message itself, and I'm trusting and believing in every one of you to be a real Christian. Amen. So the message of the hour is not just the flame of the hour, but it's actually the flame of our hearts. Amen. You see, the prophet would actually let us know that it is the same pillar of fire that led the children of Israel in that Exodus, which became the fullness of the Godhead dwelling bodily in Jesus Christ, is now dwelling in a many-membered bride body and declaring that this message lives and is the hope of the world, is the salvation of the world, is the salvation for the hopeless, is the salvation for the sick, is the salvation for marriages, is the salvation, amen, for those that are in need. It's Jesus Christ alive in the power of his resurrection today. Now, go preach it and show these signs that I'm alive from the dead. What a message. You see, the apostolic age will not cease. Now, I know there's a lot of people that is trying to bury the apostolic age and go ahead and just say that it's a day gone by, and they don't believe in miracles and they don't believe in the supernatural. And hey, you know, even our message ranks to say that the pillar of fire accompanies the message always, that it's becoming a strange thing. It's becoming, you know, even a strange thing to say that the Gentiles, after 2,000 years, a man has received their Messiah. And that is Jesus Christ. And that is the same pillar of fire. Amen. That is among the church, that is with the message always. Amen. But you see, the prophet would say the apostolic age will never cease. It goes all the way until the coming of the Lord. And the prophet of God would actually, in the sermon Perfect Faith, he would say, now trying to get the church into the place to where we can really see apostolic times moving among us. That's what we all hunger. And it's just laying right at the door. We see it, but we want to see more of it. We want it such a flow that it'll be a help to us. Us flow out to others. So notice what the prophet of God is saying. Amen. It's not just to have a good time. It's not just to have a good church service, but he's actually saying we want it to be such a flow that is flowing out of us and it's going to others. You see, and the prophet would say, remember Jesus, as we had in the lesson this morning, he never used his power for himself. He used it for others. That's what it was sent for. So the apostolic age is not just, and I believe in having a wonderful church service. I believe in shouting. I still believe that there's freedom of the Holy Ghost in the church. But you see, it's for us to get to filled up and so filled up until our cup is overflowing. growing, and then you go to your jobs, and you go to the schools, and you're going to the supermarket, and you see you are Christ to this age. Now again, we are running with a vindicated message. It's not something that's man's opinion. It is not something that, you know, that we're waiting for some further vindication. Amen. We are running with a vindicated supernatural message that the angel of the Lord backs this message up every day, every situation. You see, the prophet of God would say that we have come to the advancement of the gospel. He would say, this is another hour. This is another day. This is the advancement of the gospel. It's coming to its maturity. So we can't live in what Luther said, Wesley said, or some of the rest of them. We're living in the light that's predicted for this day. And the prophet of God would take us just over and over and show us the four stages of the wheat. And he would show how that it goes, comes out of the ground, and it's a tassel, you know, a stalk, and then a tassel, then a shuck, and then it's back to the grain. Amen. And so he's showing that it has advanced from just the carrier stages, which is like justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but it's come back to the Word Himself. Amen. Who is the Word Himself? It's the Messiah. It's Elohim. It's Melchizedek. Amen. You see, we're running with a message. Amen. We're running with something that has become the flame of our hearts, that we are convinced that Messiah is on the earth. We're convinced that we've come back to the original ministry of Jesus Christ, and it did not die with William Branham, but it is still being carried on through the ministry of Jesus Christ, which is made flesh in the bride form. Amen. Now, Brother Branham says the shuck pulled away from it. Now, Brother Branham would say the shuck is the Pentecostal age. And so he's saying the shuck pulled away from it. There's no further advancement. The wheat, the ministries turn right back the way it was at the beginning. It's Jesus Christ among us, friend. Not a man, but the man Christ Jesus that's living in you.
Amen.
And wants to be a part in you, and you be a part of Him. Won't you receive Him today? Amen. So it's prophesied that there would be a day that is neither day nor night. It's a gloomy day. It's enough light to build churches and hospitals and seminaries and put our name on the book. And honestly, you know, the things that they were saying in Brother Branham's day, you know, crying, fast and pray, and we're looking for a move of God. We're looking for a revival. Amen. They've not changed their message. You can turn on your Christian radio and you'll still hear them saying, it's not too late. We need to pray. We need to fast. We need to cry out. It's not too late for America. They're looking for a revival. Amen. But you see, while you're listening to it, you're also hearing a prophet declaring to you, she's not recognized the awakening of the bride. And what has awakened the bride? Those seven unknown thunders, which is equaled out the mysteries of the seven seals, which is God's voice speaking to the bride, has awakened us in this day to a recognition that we have the answer. We have what we've been waiting for. It is Christ in the power of His resurrection that can bring results, that can bring healing, that can bring deliverance, that can save the oppressed, that we can cast out devils in His name. Hallelujah. You see, so while it's just a dismal, gloomy day, and yet we find that Zechariah 14:7 says that it shall be light in the evening time. And the prophet of God says that when the, you know, you got your flashlight, and amen, and you're trying to, I can't remember that mountain around here. You know, the prophet of God said that he heard, it was just a gloomy, It was a gloomy, all these gloomy stories, and he's got his flashlight and he's trying to see, and it was spooky. He said, but you see, when the King of Light rose, you didn't need a flashlight any longer. Amen. You don't need man-made ideas. You don't need Baptist pollution. You don't need Pentecostal ideas of things. Amen. We've got the King of Light. Amen. Rise and shine. Thy light has come. The S-O-N light. Why seek ye the living among the dead? He's alive. He's risen. You see, you're here, the prophet of God would say. You're expressed. As after his word has come in you to light up this age, you are expressing God's life in you because you are a son or a daughter of God. You get what I mean? You are now made. You're sitting in this church tonight because your duty is to express God to this nation and this people and this neighborhood where you associate. Now, you see, the prophet of God would say, amen, that Christ simply means the anointed one. And he would say it's the same one that appeared in the Old Testament, that appeared in the New Testament. And he would say, you know, he says, and show by the same word, the same Christ, and I declare to you that Christ is the Holy Ghost. Now we're getting real, aren't we? Amen. The Messiah is Christ, and Christ is the Holy Ghost. And so it's not a different, just, you know, another member of the Godhead. It's the same God. It's Elohim. The same one that performed the sign of discernment, that discerned the thoughts and intents of Sarah's heart, which was the Son of Man, which was Elohim made flesh, that was also made flesh in Jesus Christ, that was also revealed through an end time ministry named William Branham, is now the same Holy Ghost that is dwelling in the bride body. So who is this tabernacling in your flesh? It's Melchizedek. Amen. Who is this in your flesh? It's Elohim. Who is this in your flesh? It's the Son of Man. Who is this in your flesh? It's the Word. Who is this in your flesh? It's the dynamics. Who is this in your flesh? It's the answer. And the devil's trying to say that you don't have a ministry. And the devil's trying to say you're just a nobody. You're just a housewife, or you're just, you know, you're just a painter, or you're a plumber, or an electrician, or a technician, or whatever you are. You're just someone going, you know, going to school, and yet you are deity's not in heaven, deity is on earth. Deity is tabernacling in you, going to school. It's God going to school. It's God that is painting a building. It's God that is cooking the food. It's God. And the devil says you're a nobody. I declare you are the anointed bride party of Jesus Christ, the dwelling place of the Holy Ghost. We don't have time to go into all these things, but the prophet of God says it was the anointed man, now it's the anointed bride body. You see, the anointed one, there would be a man that would be anointed with what? The Bible said in Acts 2 that Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God, anointed with the Holy Ghost, went about it and done great works and things. See, that God manifested, proved that he was in this man. And now we become anointed with that same Spirit, anointed Messiahs, Messiahs of the last day, to shine forth the resurrection of Jesus Christ, to show that he is not dead, but in the form of the Holy Ghost, he's in his people, moving among his bride with a love affair to her, pouring out into her himself. Now, you see, there's still a commission to be fulfilled. And we are elected to finish the Great Commission. And Brother Branham would say, we all know that the modern church in its present condition, in its present state, is in no condition to finish up the Great Commission that God gave the church for this day. He says, you know, and the prophet of God would say the reason that they're not able to is they can't even agree with the Bible. They can't even hardly agree with one another. He says the two-ness are, you know, we're oneness, two-ness, three-ness, this, that, other, five. One is this, one is that, and the other. Every one of them afraid to face the Word right down to the test. I tell you, the Word test will discern your heart, tell you where you're wrong, tell you to repent, and tell you to get under headship. But this bride is not under the headship of her own intelligence. She's under the headship of the vindicated Word of the hour. You see, Brother Branham would say, you know, he says, now, you tell them about it, and they say, I can't help it. I can't believe that. I don't care what he does. Shows what mammy and pappy you have. You might be a state presbyter someday. You know, you might be this, that, or the other. You better be a son of God. Now, we know that the church cannot, the Pentecostal church by no means could carry out the last day message in its present condition. It can't even agree it can't even agree on one or two words in the Bible. How are you going to do it? It's going to be an elected people that's elected for it. Now, it's showing that God has awakened you for a purpose. He did not open the Word just so you can say you're a message believer, you're in a message church, isolate yourself, but we've got a commission. We've got a commission. Now, Pentecost, they went to shuck because they denominated around their ideas, their little pet doctrines, and they couldn't agree with the Word. But you see, the prophet of God would actually take what Paul said, that the kingdom of God is his word made power. And that Paul said, you know, I didn't come to you with enticing words of man's wisdom. In other words, I'm not trying to get you just to join my group. I'm not trying to get you to join my clique. He said, but I've come to you in the power of his resurrection, that your faith would not be in just what I'm trying to tell you, but you would see that there's something backing this word. Something else, other than just me trying to give you some good sermon like the other 40,000 denominations are doing. I'm trying to give you eternal life. I'm trying to give you the answer. You see, so what Brother Branham picked that up, and he says, now the kingdom of God is God's word made power. What is the kingdom of God? It's within you.
Amen.
The kingdom's in you, and when the word comes in there, what does this word begin? It turns itself into power, making it say just exactly what it said. Now notice, the shuck can't agree with the word. It can't even, the prophet said, agree with one or two words of the Bible. But here is the kingdom of God in you.
Amen.
And it's making you line up with the word.
Amen.
To say exactly.
Amen.
What that word says.
Amen.
You see, you can't say it says this and it says this and make it work. You got to say the same thing it says. That makes a confession, not saying, well, it's polished, you know, it's polished up a little here. I'll have more wisdom. I'll be in better standing over there. You stay with the word and it makes it power.
Amen.
See, the importance of just confessing, standing upon the word of God and saying it is written.
Amen.
Remember, the devil's going to try to get you embarrassed. He's going to try to get you to back up on your stand. Now remember, the prophet of God says the reason that people get embarrassed is because they don't know what they're talking about. And if the devil can get you to begin to question why you believe this message, why you're standing for this message, why you're testifying about this message, why you're declaring that this message is Jesus Christ. You see, the reason is, it's the very thing that was prophesied to bring redemption in this age. It's the very thing
That is to bring a claim upon a life and say, you're my possession. You don't belong to the devil. You don't belong to those spirits. You don't belong to Laodicea. But I bought you. I paid the price. And my blood was shed 2,000 years ago for your redemption. And the Holy Ghost is claiming you. Now he's claiming you for a purpose. And that is to be his voice. Now the prophet of God, and I'm not going to read it, but you know it. He says the church has become their own voice. So God is just putting them away. And because the church is no longer the mouthpiece of God, it's its own mouthpiece. So God is turning on her. He says, but you see, there will be. God raised up others, and so it has gone on through the years until the last day. There is again another people in the land who under their messenger will be the final voice to the final age. Brother Branham says that he will confound her through the prophet and the bride. For the voice of God will be in her. Amen. Yes, it is. Amen. For it says in the last chapter of Revelation, Revelations verse 17, the Spirit and the bride say, come. Amen. Once more the world will hear direct from God as at Pentecost. But of course, that word bride will be repudiated as in the first age. So we find out that God is depending on you and me. He's depending on us to get the message out. He's depending on us to be certain of God. He's depending on us to catch a revelation of what this message is about. That's why the prophet of God says that the most important thing you can pray for is revelation. You see, someone's predestinated to hear it. Now, who? That's God's business. But it's our business to tell them that Jesus lives. It's our job. They've already got Baptist theory of Jesus. They've already got a Methodist Jesus. They've got a Pentecostal Jesus. So just saying, let's get them to Jesus. Well, what Jesus are you going to get them to? Or you're going to get them to the vindicated word, which is the light of the hour, which is Jesus Christ in the power of his resurrection. Only that Jesus will help the world. Now who's going to hear it? That's God's business. But you heard it. I heard it. Aren't you glad you did? Amen. And aren't you glad someone told you? Amen. You see, you know, Jesus said, insomuch as you give unto the least of these, you've done it to me. You're the men and women of tomorrow, if there is a tomorrow. God is depending on you. And you people here tonight, God's depending on you to project his love to the sinner. Amen. There's something about a man or a woman. You are a miniature creator. I know you know these things. And you forgive me for taking my time. My throat's a little bit weak tonight. Mark 16 verse 15 through 18. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. Amen. In my name shall they cast out devils. Amen. They shall speak with new tongues. Who is this for? Just for the prophet? Just for the pastor? Just for the visiting evangelist? No, it's to the believer. How many believers do we have? They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. And the prophet of God says there is an elected group under the opening of the word that is going to fulfill this commission. And someone is depending on you to believe it. Now, Acts 1 and 8 says, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. So again, a witness has got something to tell. And your witness is of the proof of his resurrection. Now, remember, tell them that I've got a certain specific place that I'm going to meet them. Now then, it was Galilee. But today, God has a provided meeting place, and that is in Christ.
Amen.
You see, that's why Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that are weary and labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He would say that, you know, amen, and we find that Christ is the Word. And his place is not a meeting, you know, his meeting place is not a denomination. It's not a certain religion. It's not a certain church. It's not a certain country. But you see, as many as received Him, Christ, the revealed Word, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. John 5:24 says, verily I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death into life. The 25th verse, verily I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. You see, the time is coming and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God and shall live. Ephesians 2:1 says, and you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. You see, we read in 1 Thessalonians, I believe it's the 4th chapter, amen, that the Lord himself shall descend with a shout, with a voice, with a trump. And the prophet says Christ does all three as he descends. The prophet of God would declare that the rapture is a progress. And it begins with a message, and that message is the bread of life, which is gathering the bride. And where the carcass is, the eagles will be gathered together. Where the body word of the Son of Man is, the eagles will be gathered together. But the next part of that is where the voice of the resurrection is being made manifest, who I believe, through the bride. Now we find that that is in fulfillment of the second part of Revelation 10. When John was to go to the mighty angel, take the book, eat the book, because he had to prophesy again, which is John is a type of the bride, and the ministry of the bride in the last days is the ministry of Jesus Christ, the Word being made manifest through the voice of the bride. Now, you say, why are you taking your time to read these things? Well, I'll tell you, because the time is coming, and now is, when those who are dead is going to hear the words of life, and they're going to live. You see, just as Lazarus 4 days, now I just told you, we come through a process, and we have come to the advancement of the word, which is from stalk, tassel, shuck, and that is back to the ministry of Jesus Christ, the Word, the grain.
Amen.
On the 4th day, here comes the Word to the tomb of Lazarus.
Amen.
And says, Lazarus, come forth.
Amen.
And then he has some workers to go and take the stone away. But then he's got some workers to loose Lazarus.
Amen.
I believe that the bride has got a ministry.
Amen.
And I believe she's a part of the voice of the resurrection.
Amen.
And I believe she's also a part of rolling those stones away.
Amen.
And I believe she's a part of taking the bloody, bleeding word and loosing spirits of oppression.
Amen.
Spirits that are trying to bind humanity. Spirits of pornography. Spirits that are trying to break up homes. Spirits. There's still another woman at the well that has got her fit, that has had five husbands and is living with another that is not her own. And they're needing to hear the voice of the Messiah. Oh, I wish I had a voice to say it. But who's going to do it? You're going to do it. And their response is, we know, we've heard, we're looking for the Messiah. We're looking for an anointing to break the shackles off of my life. An elected seed that's groaning and travailing and crying and needing a real drink of that Pentecostal water. Who's going to give them that Pentecostal water? You see, it's a perfect loosing in this day. As Lazarus was loosed, we find Revelation 1:5, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. And Brother Branham would say the word washed is actually loosed. Loosed us from our sins in his own blood. You see your ministry? You're running with a message. That is not a dead message. It's a bloody, bleeding word. To loose. Not to bind up. It's not creed. It's not law. It's not dogma. It's loose. It's a word. It's a commission. In my name you shall cast out devils. Your hands being laid on the sick and they shall recover. But the prophet of God in perfect faith says we see apostolic times, but we're wanting more of it. And I say this message has brought us perfect faith. We wouldn't have perfect faith without this message. We wouldn't have perfect confidence without this message. We wouldn't know that Messiah is on the earth. We wouldn't be convinced of his resurrection without this message. Therefore, it's up to us to go tell. It's a perfect loosing. So when the sun rises in the morning, it has a message of life. It's resurrection power. Just as that first sun rose in the garden when there was just doom and gloom and chaos. But when the word went forth and said, let there be light, there was a sun rising. And it hailed the message that doom and gloom could not hold those predestinated seeds captive. All of a sudden it began to call and began to woo. A deep calling to the deep, and the Holy Ghost began to brood over those seeds and they began to come forth. God will not lose one. All that the Father hath given me will come to me, and I'll not lose one. He's not going to lose one. One mama, one daddy standing there with the perfect confidence of the S-O-N line. Say, I claim my children. I claim my family. I claim my home. The sun is risen. There's power in this message. That's the Son of Man's message today. That's the confidence we have in this message. It's not intellects. It's not theologians. It's not psychology. But it's the Son of Man. All that the Father hath given me will come to me, and I'll not lose one. It's Elohim. Say, I've come to visit you according to the time of life. I'll bring them forth. Don't be ashamed of it. We'll be salty. Oh, be salty. Hallelujah. You don't have to tell them where they're wrong. Just tell them, you know, I've got something that works. I've got something here that's a contraption that I believe is Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. I believe it's Paul's gospel. I believe it's the gospel that raised Lazarus from the dead. I believe it's the gospel that opened Bartimaeus' eyes. I believe it's the gospel that raised Jesus from the dead. I believe that it's what we need for the rapture. Someone's going to listen. Now, I already told you, I'm preaching to the choir, but I wanted to encourage you tonight. You see, because I live, you live also. You see, all of the seed, you're the seed, you're the grain, and all that seed has to rot. You got to rot to your own ideas, arguing with things. You got to come to full agreement. That's why when the Almighty God, you know, Revelation or Genesis 17 says Abraham, he's going to change his name now. The prophet of God says he's coming to adoption now. He's going to come from Abram to Abraham. Elohim is going to give him a part of his own name. That's Son of Man ministry. It's Jesus Christ taking on flesh, the form of Mrs. Jesus Christ. But you see, what was the message? I'm Almighty God. I'm Elohim. I'm El Shaddai. But walk perfect before me. You see, the prophet of God would say, he's now coming into full obedience. He's not gonna wrestle with his flesh. He already knows he can't fulfill it in his flesh. He's done arguing. He's done debating. He's done just fussing with the message and fussing with Lot. And he just wants to manifest it. And that's when Son of Man comes on the scene and says, okay, it's manifesting time. He's coming into perfect, full, perfect obedience now. And you know what? Perfect obedience, it brings you entitled to the token. You see, now you're ready to go into action. Because it's not your will and God's will, it's God's will. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, I'm going through a lot of this. Thank you for your patience. You're a good audience. You see, let's just read this for a moment. The very message of the gospel itself is to prove to the people that he is risen. Go tell my disciples that I am risen from the dead, and I'll meet with them to confirm this to them. Again, where is he going to meet you? In Christ. He's confirming the covenant. What's the covenant? It's the promise. It's the promise that I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. But I'll be your God. You'll be my people. You're called out for his name's sake. You're his bride. Oh God, how in this last day there should be light again across the earth. And I'll prove to my disciples. Go tell them that I'm not dead. I'm not a tradition. Can I just stop here? And go ahead and just say, he's not a message tradition either. But I am a living Christ. I'll meet them. Take this message to my disciples that I am risen from the dead. That's the good news. Brother Branham says that in the restoration of the bride tree, he says when they begin to run, with that first message. Now, he says it was like a rumor. He said he rose again on the first day of the week. And he said, which was the eighth day. Amen. Which speaks of eternity. Amen. So it's not temporal life. It's quickening power. Amen. If the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you. Now, I want to take it further. You're not trying to get this message out in your own power. It's the Holy Ghost packing this message. But it's the flame of our hearts. It's the passion of our life. But it's the Holy Ghost that's speaking through you. It's the Holy Ghost that is just using your hands, using your mouth. It's using your feet. You see, and when they begin to run and say he's alive, they were still wondering about it. They didn't believe him. He says it was just like the Pentecostal age on Azusa Street. You know, when they begin to run, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the restoration of the gifts. The prophet of God said, now that was the third light. He said it was just a rumor that the Holy Ghost was on the earth. He said, but when the message come, which is the restoration of the bride tree, which means that the fruit is on the top of the tree.
Amen.
That's when it's no longer a rumor. But we've now moved to the fourth light,
Amen.
Which is the word itself made manifest.
Amen.
Which is the same Christ that has come down through the ages. And it's went through the process of justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And now it's come to the Word Himself.
Amen.
That's why the prophet of God says now, there's nothing to hold us back from the rapture. He said all we need to do is just get softened up, tendered up. He said we just need to ripen in the presence of the Son. Well, I just want to declare, when are we going to just go ahead and take the faith that God has given us and say, do we have to wait another 50 years? I mean, who's going to tell us? Do we have to wait another year? Who's going to tell us what season we're in? Or is what's in your heart going to declare, I believe the message. I believe what the prophet said is pertaining to my life. I'm not arguing with it. I'm not debating with it. I'm not putting it off for tomorrow. I'm declaring that I am the manifestation of this message. When you see me, you see Christ. You don't have to look at a picture for the pillar of fire. Look at me. I am the tabernacle. When you see me, you see the Father. When you see me, you see the bridegroom.
Amen.
You see, that is what we have ripened to for 50 years. We've been ripening, 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 getting all the greenness out of us. Is this okay, brother?
Come on.
Getting all of the things, can I really believe that?
Wow.
Can I really say that's me?
Wow.
Can I really say that me and the message are one?
Amen.
Me and Christ are one?
Amen.
Can I really, when I'm looking at the mirror and I see my hair falling out and I know my mistakes and I know my faults, but you see it's a perfect bud.
Amen.
But you're going to have a perfect faith
Amen.
To believe in this perfect grace.
Amen.
Because it's faith in rapturing grace. And the only way you're going to get out of this world is going to be grace. A grace that pardons you. A grace that covers you. A grace that clothes you with this righteousness. But when you begin to see that, you start seeing there's hope for everyone else. You're not pointing fingers. You're not pointing fingers like this. You're not pointing fingers like that. All of a sudden you say there's grace for everyone. There's grace for the homeless. There's grace for the hopeless. There's grace for those that are thinking they're wanting to commit suicide. There's an answer for the world. We're running with it. We've wore it out. Don't put your candle under a bushel. But what is the candle? Well, you're a city set on a hill. What is that city? It's the new Jerusalem. It's you are the new Jerusalem. You are the Word made flesh.
Amen.
But when are we going to take the perfect faith that was given to us? through the message of the hour and say, that is me. At that day you shall know. And the prophet says, when the revelation is made known, that's this day, you will know that I am in Christ and Christ is in me. And the mystery of the whole thing. I'm part of the Godhead. But you see, as long as the devil keeps pushing you in a corner, pushing you down, and you're barely limping into church and just to get a little bit primed up, and then you go back out there, and the devil's trying to hide you. But I'm telling you, Tucson needs you. They may think that they need a Democrat. They may think they need a Republican. They may think that they need this answer and this answer and that answer. I'll tell you what they need. They need you. Amen. You're the one that's holding this whole thing together. The moment the Spirit of God, the moment that you're lifted off of this world, the Spirit of God is lifted. They think they got problems now. They might not want to listen, but let me tell you, young people, you be convinced of this message. You be convinced that what we have, I wish I could just pull up all of the pictures and show you. What we have is what the world has been longing for. We've got the Messiah. We have got the pillar of fire. It's Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. We've got healing because the healer's here. We've got deliverance because the deliverer's here. We've got strength because El Shaddai's here. And all hell's against this revelation. It's not against the White House. It's not even against Iran. And it's not against this country or that country. It's against the revelation of Christ being here now. He's doing everything in his power to keep you from seeing it. But I say, blessed are your eyes, for they do see. Blessed are your ears, for they do hear. Blessed because you're standing in your position as the voice of the resurrection, running with a message. I'm closing. I just want to. I'm just going to read a few things because I just want to anchor it in your heart. I know you know these things. But the Brother Branham says his promised word will be interpreted in you by him. Did you get that? Brother Branham's asking. Did you get that? The word that he promised to fulfill in the day that you're living in, you will be a written epistle of God, read of all men. Not what you claim, but what God does through you will speak out louder than anything you could claim. God said, these signs shall follow them that believe. That speaks through you. He spoke of this age, what would be now. The believers of this age has to believe this, what he promised today. Just the same as they had to come into the ark to be saved, go out of Egypt to be saved. Are you seeing the importance Brother Branham is putting on the message today? As he said, I'll meet you in a place. It'll be God's provided place of worship. Then it was an ark. Then in the days of Moses, it was coming out of Egypt. He says now they have to come into Christ to be saved now. Into the word. Into the word message that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. How do you get into it? By baptism. Baptism of what? Water. By the Holy Ghost. One spirit. We're all baptized into this one body. And his promised word, you won't have to interpret it. He will interpret it through you. What you are doing, what he promised to do, the church that follows him will be so much like him until the people will know. Wow. Are you seeing how Brother Branham's taking all the pressure off of you? You don't have to. This isn't cisterns. This isn't some broken cistern that you're trying to prime it up, work it up. The bride's revival is not some denominational cistern. Always fearful. Am I representing right? Am I doing this right? And what if it doesn't happen? And oh, these signs shall follow them that believe. And all of a sudden the devil puts a pressure on you like you've got to actually do it. You're just the yielded vessel. Because Brother Branham told us flat out. He says, it's not me, it's him. It's a son of man revealing the son of man. And he says, it's only what I surrendered myself to. That's the secret of the whole thing. It's what you surrender yourself to. Look at Peter and John when they questioned about healing a man at the gate called Beautiful. They said they perceived, those priests did, that they were both ignorant and unlearned men, but they took notice that they had been with Jesus. Because what? They were doing the things that he did. He must be about the Father's business. And today it must be the same. Brother Branham says the Father's business is to manifest the Word. Do you see your identity in Malachi 4? Do you see that you're a product of this message? That your hearts have been turned back? That when Brother Branham, I was listening to Brother Branham today. He says it was like when God changed Abram's name to Abram to Abraham. He says, now I'll make you a father of many nations. He couldn't do it as Abram. He had to be changed. He said, now you see, it's just like Malachi 4, 5 and 6 that I'll turn their hearts back to the original faith of the apostolic fathers. What is it? Because they're seed. There's children that is going to manifest this promise.
Amen.
That they're going to have the same faith, and it's going to be not the faith of Paul, not the faith of Peter, it's the faith of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Brother Branham was saying, now, if you're a preacher, preach your sermon and live it. If you're not a preacher, you're still a preacher. He says, live your sermon. Let your sermon be lived, and it's the voice of God that'll bring reproach to them who reject it. They say no one can put a finger on his or her life. They're sweet, living. If there ever was a man of God, it's that man or that woman. See, live your sermons. Don't try to preach them if you're not called to be a preacher. You get all mixed up anyhow and messed up, and you'll get people tangled up, and you'll ruin them and yourself too. Just live your sermon. I just love how the pressure just takes, it's just taken off of you. Just live it. And that's what the bride can do, because she's elected for this. And you live Christ. And we've all got stories. We know the testimonies. And I no doubt many of you can just stand up and start giving testimony of how that you just going to work, daily routine, the grind. And you're just being you. Your personality. Your hair color. Your eyes, your stature, and all of a sudden someone begins to talk to you about Jesus. How many testimonies have we heard just like that, and they come right into the message? And that's what I'm saying. That's why I'm saying I want to encourage you. Because the devil is doing everything in his power to bring a weight and saying, it's not matter. It doesn't matter. You don't matter. You're not important. You don't have value. I'm telling you, God sees value in you. And not only value, he's depending on you. And not only that, Paul's depending on you to believe this message. Run with this message. Peter's depending on you. William Branham's depending on you. Don't back up. Oh, how? now we need in Jeffersonville thousands of live voices. The thunder of God thundering out in sweetness and holiness, purity, undefiled lives, walking around in the earth today without a blemish. Real Christians. That's thunder against the enemy. Let the musicians come. When I read this, this struck me. And I pray it does you as well. When man see you living like him, when he sees your character and your conduct with the Word just exactly like he was, the Word being manifested, then man will see Jesus Christ. They won't have to look around anywhere else. Say, what does this creed teach? What does that creed teach? They'll know what God is when they see you.
Wow. Hallelujah.
And then Brother Branham says, Shalom. God's peace be light upon you. Scripture, Brother Branham would read in the sermons like, look. Look unto Jesus. Look away to Jesus. He'd read the scripture out of Isaiah where it says, look unto me, all ye ends of the earth, ends of the world. Brother Branham would show the ends is plural. And then he would say, at the end of each world system, like Noah, like Abraham, Lot, the world was burnt up. And he would say, look unto me and be saved. Brother Branham would show that it matters what we're looking at. And he says, whatever you're pointing to, that's what you reflect. Now I'm closing, but I want that just to really resonate. You reflect what you're pointing at. You see, if the devil's trying to get you to back up, and trying to get you to lose confidence for whatever reason, and you begin to point maybe to your own lack or your own inability, your own complex, there's no salvation in that. It can't produce life. You see, that's where most of our laws and legalism and creeds and dogmas and cliques. But when you realize that it's not about me, if I can just get someone to look at him, get all eyes off of me, I don't have hardly, I stutter and stammer and everything else. But I've told the Lord, if I can just get someone to look at you, because there's salvation if you can just see Christ. If you can see that this is the answer, there's still healing. In this word, there's still deliverance. If I can just point someone to Christ, don't point to a creed, don't point to the mistakes in the message, don't point to this group and that group and this bickering and this feud, and there's no hope in that. There's no salvation in that. The devil just gets all the glory in that. But this message is Christ. And if I can just take this vindicated message and wave it before anyone who will just stop and listen and say, he's alive.
Amen.
He'll help your family. He'll restore your marriage.
Amen.
He'll bring deliverance to the oppressed. He'll deliver that wayward son and daughter that's hooked on drugs.
Amen.
It's the answer.
Amen.
The world's at an end. The world's falling apart. We don't have much longer. Look and live.
Amen.
The blood works.
Amen.
Calvary's in effect. The word is in full effect.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm a product.
Amen.
The slave bed's taken off of my life.
Amen.
I am a witness. It works.
Amen.
I know what I used to be. And it's the blood of God that broke the shackles off of my life.
Amen.
And if he did it for me, he'll do it for you.
Amen.
I know. I was a teenager. Let me just say it. I know what it is to go to school and hear the crudeness, not even crude, just out and out filth and vulgarity, talking about what happened the night before, and they know I'm a Christian, and they're just saying that we're going to get you hooked up, and we're going to make you fall, and we're going to do this, and literally pushing the pressures upon me. We're going to get you on, we're going to get you drunk, and we're going to do this, and they threaten me. Put their hands on me trying to force me to do things. But it's the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
I say it works.
Amen.
I say the seal of the Holy Ghost works.
Amen.
I say it's the answer for this generation. I say it's the answer when you're going through depression and when you're going through anxieties and you're going through nervousness and the devil's trying to get you to end your life. I say the Holy Ghost is the answer. It's the answer for weary. It's the answer for nervousness. It's the answer for your marriage. It's the Holy Ghost. It's Messiah. It's Elohim, the self-existing one who has the answer for your life. And if you can just get convinced of it, just step into your position as a son and daughter of God. Go tell. Go tell. Go to the highways and the byways. Go to your schools. Go to your jobs. Live this message. Live it. It's God's business to quicken the seed, but it's your business to live it. It's your business to receive it and say, yes, Lord, I humble myself to this message. Yes, Lord, I surrender. It's me. It's who I am. It's my identity. It's my adoption. Hallelujah. I must be about the Father's business. Some go to Nigeria, some go to Uganda, some go to Pakistan, but others have to stay here in Tucson. Others have got to go to school. Others got to wear the long skirts. Blessed are you, sisters, for your stand, because you're written epistles. I know the devil mocks you. I know he says you don't have a ministry. But I say, blessed are you who can stand for this message. Coming under full obedience to the word. And you've got your long dresses and you've got your long hair. You are the gospel to a lost and dying world. Don't be ashamed of your testimony. I'll just straight up tell you, I'm proud to take my wife to Walmart. They may look at me and they don't tell a difference, but when I walk by my wife, I'm like, look at her. She got her long dress and she's so beautiful and so ladylike, and I'm just like, yep, this is my glory. This is my written epistle. This is who I am. I am a Holy Ghost filled Son of God that is standing for the vindication. He's alive. I'm not ashamed of it. Hallelujah. I'm not ashamed to tell anyone who will just stop long enough and listen. I've got your answer. Messiah's here. I'm not ashamed. I'm not trying to take him to Jesus and bypass this message. I'm taking him to Jesus through this message. The only way you're going to get him to a real Jesus is take him through this Son of Man. The living Word. And you can stop and say, that same Jesus is alive today. And let me tell you, there has been a ministry on this earth today that it is proven that Jesus Christ is still the Word, and He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I can tell you, the blind have seen, and the deaf have heard, and the drug addicts are made whole again. And I can tell you, hallelujah. Come and go home with me. That's what Philip did. When he heard John, Elijah, say that's the Messiah, Philip said, hey, where are you going? I want to go home and get convinced. I say that's what we need. We need a Holy Ghost old-fashioned getting convinced church service where young people are getting full of the Holy Ghost and getting convinced that this message lives, where mamas and daddies are getting a refilling of the Holy Ghost and leaving the church service and saying it lives. He's alive. He's in me. He's the flame of my heart. That's what we need. We need the family altar again where daddies can take mamas and hug them and say, honey, we need to see God in this situation. We need to see God moving our 13-year-old, our 18-year-old, our 25-year-old. We need God. And the only way to do it is to get in His presence. It's the only way, church. This message is not psychology. The message is the Holy Ghost lives. It works. I believe that on a Wednesday night, whatever you have need of, I'll just declare unto you, the Messiah's here. You don't have to worry about Him knowing your name. He knows it. He's already proven it. It's vindicated. You don't have to worry about Him knowing your heart. He knows it. He knows what you've been doing. Quit trying to hide it. Quit trying to sidestep it. Amen. The preacher may not know. Mama may not know. Your husband may not know. But God knows. Oh, I tell you what you do. You just come humbly and just come boldly and say, Lord, I surrender. Lord, forgive me. I've been shirking my responsibility. I'm your answer. I'm the one that's supposed to be running with this message, and I've got some dirt on my garment. I've got some things that these weights and these sins that so easily beset. Take it off of me. I surrender it, Lord. Forgive me and refill me with the Holy Ghost. Make me salty. Take the critical spirit out of me. Make me salty. Take the legalistic spirit off of me. Make me salty. Take that judgmental spirit off of me. Make me salty, Lord. Help me, Lord. I want to win one soul to You. Brother Brandon says Your name will be on with that one for all eternity. Oh, God. Oh, Lord, I love You. Satan tried to stop my voice. It wasn't pretty, Lord. But it's the passion of my heart. I'm preaching to a group that loves you, a group that believes this message is the passion of their hearts. Lord, it's time to, if we've been sitting on the sideline, watching everyone else, thinking, allowing the devil to put complexes on us, thinking that we're just nobodies, that we're just nothing, we don't have anything to offer. The devil's talking us out of our God-given privileges. I pray, Lord, that we would repent of that. I pray, Lord, that every complex would be destroyed tonight. Every spirit that's saying we're too weak, we can't do it. When the prophet of God already told us that he's looking for weakness, so his strength can be made perfect through us. Lord, if there's someone here that's just flat out, just no other way to say it, but just been carnal, losing sight of the goal, losing sight of their purpose, and Lord, because of it, they're pointing to other things. They're reflecting. They're just reflecting situations that they shouldn't. I pray, Lord, that you touch that heart, Lord, and let them just lay it down. May every heart become an altar for just a few moments, Lord. I pray, Father, that you'd bring a refreshing of your spirit. Bring a refilling of the Holy Ghost. Maybe someone's here that needs the Holy Ghost. Would you give it to them, Lord? Make us your witnesses, Father. Help us to be better representatives, better than we ever have before, Lord. Help us, God, to take this message to heart and realize that we do. This is our ministry. This is our part. Bless our pastor here, Lord. Strengthen him, God. Continue to use him and bless him. His precious wife, his family. Lord, all of the officers of the church. Everyone, Lord. I know it's a great battle. Satan's doing everything in his power to bring discouragements. He'd love to get us to lose sight of our importance and our value, even in this assembly. I pray, God, that you just refresh them, requicken that, Lord. Let them see how important they are in the body of Christ. We give you the glory. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. God bless you.
There is power.